People still hoping to be vaccinated. WRAL News at 6 starts now.
This is WRAL News, your number one source for local news.
You want to make sure that safety is the important issue here. We are totally aware that this is a very rare event. We want to get this worked out as quickly as we possibly can.
Tonight, Dr. Anthony Fauci is defending the FDA and the CDC to pause administering the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. He says he wants to lead with science. Scientists now are investigating to see if there's a direct link between the J&J shot and six women who experienced very rare blood clots. Thank you for joining us at 6. I'm Deborah Morgan.
And I'm David Crabtree. We have learned that of those six women, one person died, another is in critical condition. Close to 7 million people have received the Johnson & Johnson single dose, so the reported problems are, quote, less than one in a million. Here in North Carolina, more than 242,000 people have received it. And as a result of today's news, local health care providers decided to switch back to Pfizer and Moderna. Dr. Mandy Cohen also addressed the pause this afternoon as she cautioned against overreacting, and she's now worried about increased skepticism and hesitancy.
Well, I think that today's announcement shows that we have a robust safety system in place and that that system is working to identify any concerns.
And again, Dr. Cohen reiterating more than 242,000 people statewide have received the J&J vaccine. Dr. Cohen, among those, none of the six instances of blood clots happened here. This pause, she says, will help our medical providers make a plan for how to treat a rare clot should they see it.
So what does this mean if you were signed up for the J&J vaccine? WRAL's Amanda Lamb spoke with local health systems today about this issue. She joins us now live from the site of Wake County's Mass Clinic, PNC Arena. Amanda?
So, Deborah, all of these health systems were busy pivoting today, and they have done just that. Here at PNC tomorrow in this spot, people will be able to get first and second doses of Pfizer. Now, a few minutes ago, Wake County Health sent out a press release telling us some other plans. They did have some J&J vaccine clinics in the community, and they are going to now shift those to Moderna. So the goal is to make sure there is no interruption.
So what happens if you get vaccinated and then news of possible health issues with that vaccine arise?
I feel like the numbers aren't big enough to make you say no.
Joshua Boyles was vaccinated with AstraZeneca when he was living in Britain. That's a COVID vaccine that, like J&J, is coming under review for blood clots in a small number of people. He believes the vaccine is still worth the risk.
If you've got a choice, then it's your choice. Make the choice of which one you can do. But I think the choice of whether or not to get it should be off the table.
On the table right now, enough concern about J&J that it's been pulled from use.
There may be a very, very rare side effect associated with this one particular vaccine, which has other properties that we like, including being easy to administer and giving one dose. We don't know that for sure, but we're investigating it.
Local doctors tell us it's the right thing to do to temporarily halt J&J vaccinations. But they also say it's important that health systems continue to vaccinate people with alternative vaccines like Moderna and Pfizer.
But the vast benefits of these vaccines so far look really, really to outweigh any risk.
Still, not everyone is convinced.
I feel like if you're releasing anything that has side effects, it's not really ready to be released unless you know who it's going to affect.
Now, so far, about 12,000 people have received J&J from Duke Health Systems and 11,400 from UNC Health. UNC tells us about 5,500 of those doses were given in the last month. And, of course, that's the time period they're concerned about. So they will be checking in with those people that recently got the vaccine. But, again, very rare side effects from these. And they are urging people to continue to go to clinics and get Pfizer and Moderna. Back to you.
Amanda Lamb, live in Raleigh. Thanks, Amanda. The pause is a blow a bit to Cape Fear Valley Medical Center in Fayetteville. The hospital had a 2,400 dose lined up clinic for J&J walk-in clinic scheduled for tomorrow and Friday. They're now canceled. Cape Fear is encouraging everyone to go online and make an appointment for the Pfizer and Moderna vaccine. They have plenty of those. WRL Investigates spent the day digging through vaccination numbers to find out how concerned, if at all, should we be. The findings in less than 10 minutes.
After 11 days and more than three dozen witnesses, the prosecution in the murder trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin has arrested. The defense opened its case today with video of George Floyd during the 2019 traffic stop. And the first person to testify is a now retired Minneapolis officer who was the first outside witness to the encounter.
The passenger was unresponsive and non-compliant to my commands.
You told him to undo his seatbelt, correct?
That's correct, yes, ma'am.
And he did that, right?
Yes, he did.
And the defense says it was not Chauvin's knee that killed Floyd, but Floyd's health and drug use. The defense is expected to rest by the end of this week. New video shared on social media appears to show Kinston police punching a man multiple times. Here is the video, and it may be difficult to watch. The Kinston Police Department and the city have launched an investigation into what happened in this case. North Carolina's WREL's Eastern North Carolina reporter Indira Esquiva spoke with the parents of the man believed to be in that video and a witness in this exclusive interview you'll only see on WREL.
We obtained a copy of the police report, and it says that it all started at this Little Caesars restaurant in Kinston. An employee called 911 saying David Bruton Jr. made threats. Police arrived, he ran, and a witness tells us that she watched officers jump on him and punch him several times.
I think it was there were two cops that caught him, and then one other cop came, and one of the cops was just beating on him, wailing on his face.
Erin Ray tells WREL she witnessed Kinston police officers on Monday jumping on Bruton as he was running away. Then Ray says she watched at least one officer hit him when he was down and squirming to get away. We counted at least four punches.
It's sad that we do have to stand by and watch and make sure that nothing is going to happen, nothing, you know, bad.
David Bruton's parents shared this photo of him with WREL. They say he was diagnosed with mental illness and schizophrenia as a teenager. The family did not want to be interviewed on camera, but also shared that police have had several encounters with him before. Sometimes the family would call them when he became unruly at home.
So what we want is a thorough investigation, and also we want transparency.
Barbara Sutton, president of the Kinston County chapter of the NAACP, says she's had conversations with the Kinston police chief and with the city manager. She's calling for body cam footage to be released.
I was very, very disturbed and very outraged within my spirit to have seen such an incident take place here in Kinston.
Indira Esquiva, WREL News, Kinston.
Kinston police right now are holding a news conference after this arrest. Let's get straight to Mark Boyle in the Live Center. Mark.
This started about 3 minutes ago. Right now, the police department, as well as city leaders, are speaking from Kinston. They have made it very clear that they're taking this very seriously. It is a full-blown open investigation still at this point. They said what you've seen in that video that was released was just 17 seconds. There's a lot more to be seen, a lot more to be put into context here. This continues to unfold this afternoon. This is a bit of a hiccup right here in the live feed, but we are monitoring all the elements coming out of Kinston. Any major updates, you will hear them right here in the Live Center. Back to you.
Thank you, Mark. Another biotech firm is expanding in our area to Sanford in Lee County. Today, AbZena announced it's bringing more than 300 jobs as part of an economic expansion. WRL TechWire reports the average pay will be $63,000 a year. The global firm works with companies to develop and make better treatments for patients. It says it will invest about $13 million into the new facility in Lee County. Abzena is receiving about $7 million in state incentives. PNC is looking to help address the banking industry's $17 billion in overdraft fees. Today it was announced that what's called low cash mode will start soon. It allows customers to prioritize whether certain debits are processed that might otherwise result in overdrafts. This new feature also alerts customers when their balance is low. If it's negative, provides at least 24 hours of extra time to avoid overdraft fees. PNC decided to make the move, saying the current overdraft system is unsustainable.
Coming up, the WRAL investigation into the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and the concerns today's news is raising, and what the numbers do and do not show when it comes to adverse reactions to vaccines. Mike.
Oh, David, a beautiful day across eastern North Carolina from Southern Pines to Corolla. And if before you say, oh, Corolla looks so beautiful, it's 52 degrees there right now. I saw some folks wearing gloves. Now, coming up, we're going to tell you how warm we get tomorrow, the threat for severe weather, and how we cool once the system passes. It's coming up.
We'll take you to Central America to see and understand what's behind an exodus of migrants fueling the crisis at the U.S. border. Also, soaring grocery prices, why they may keep going up. We'll pass along some money-saving tips when we see you ahead on Nightly News.
We're back with a look at the number of people in North Carolina who have been vaccinated so far. 30.9% of adults in the state have been fully vaccinated. 41.5% have been partially vaccinated. The pause in the Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine is raising a lot of questions and concerns among those who have not yet been vaccinated. What is the real risk?
WRAL Investigates searched through tens of thousands of vaccine reaction records to put that risk into perspective. Joe Fisher joins us now live with that story. Joe.
David and Deborah, here in North Carolina, about 250,000 people have gotten the J&J shot with no ties to this serious and severe blood clot that's being investigated by the CDC. Still, state health officials are pausing the use of J&J until more information becomes available.
So I'm not 100% surprised. In fact, I think it's a wise and prudent thing to do.
Epidemiologist Dr. Pia McDonald says the pause now is a good choice so we can learn more about the women with the rare clotting condition.
So it really provides us the opportunity to look further at those cases and examine their medical histories to understand what may or may not have caused those events.
We still don't know if the J&J vaccine played a role in six women who were diagnosed with cerebral venous sinus thrombosis, also known as CVST, in combination with low platelet levels. The numbers show those cases are rare. Six reports with 6.8 million doses of J&J administered. That's less than a 1 in a million chance of having the serious side effect.
If this is so rare, why would the CDC and FDA put a pause on the vaccine altogether?
It's important because you don't know, is it going to happen, cause more fatal or critical events, more side effects like this?
Dr. Sahar Amiri specializes in vascular medicine and says the symptoms of CVST include severe headache, abdominal pain, leg pain, and shortness of breath.
This is something that the patient needs to go to the emergency room.
All of the current COVID vaccines have shown less serious clotting reactions, but again, the chances are small. Nationally, Pfizer has reported 147 incidents of thrombosis, Moderna 100, and J&J 14. In North Carolina, there's been only 6 clotting incidents. When you factor in the doses administered, the script flips. J&J has the highest number of clotting reactions per 100,000 doses at 20. Pfizer is next with 15, followed by Moderna with 12. Experts still say any shot is better than the alternative.
If you're a 55-year-old person, your risk of dying from COVID-19 is much, much, much higher than an adverse reaction to the vaccine itself.
And McDonald points out again that this is being done, this pause to J&J, out of an abundance of caution. She says that if you have an adverse reaction to any of the three vaccines, you should report that to your doctor immediately so it can be added to the national database and be tracked. Deborah.
Joe Fisher live in Raleigh. Joe, thanks.
I continue to follow that Kinston Police Department press conference happening this afternoon. These are some live pictures coming in following the release of that video that was taken, 17-second clip. It appears from the video to where a couple of officers were on top of a man and they were punching this man on the ground. So the details of this are still being released right now. And police have said, and they made it very clear, this is very early on in the investigation. And they're also looking for additional surveillance video coming from that area to piece all of this together. The release is all of this information still coming out, as I mentioned. Take a listen to what was just said within the past 5 minutes.
As we always do. There is much more here than what meets the eye. From the time that I found out this happened last night to this very moment, my office is taking this very seriously. The city of Kinston wants to be fair to everyone involved. Mr. Bruton, the officers, and to the citizens of the city of Kinston.
Some of the reporters asking about the technique, the punching, open fist or closed fist, all of that still under review and investigation. We're monitoring this very closely for you. Any updates overnight right here on WRAL.com.
Thanks, Mark. Now let's send it over to meteorologist Mike Mays in the WRAL Severe Weather Center as we look live at the DBAP tonight. Looks like, Mike, there may be some people out there actually playing a game, and it's a beautiful evening no matter what you want to do outside.
Yeah, I think it's Duke University out there because they've been out there from time to time. But, yeah, beautiful evening and a beautiful evening to come down to the gardens, Deb. I was out here live yesterday afternoon, and when I was doing my 6 o'clock weather, I was standing right here at the little platform. That's where they hold weddings. And I understand a wedding party was actually out there earlier this afternoon taking pictures. Now, if you've never been to our gardens, we actually have trails that weave through. So it's 1.5 acres. And plenty of sight to see. Of course, the azaleas are the main feature, but there are many other plant varieties. If you're big into horticulture, it's the place to be, especially when the weather's pretty good. So Kat and I were watching the radar because earlier there was some rain showing up toward the Triad, and there was a concern we may see some sprinkles. Well, that concern has been drifting down into South Carolina, so I think we're going to be okay this evening. And as we take a look at the visible satellite picture, the light from the sun illuminating the clouds, you can see by far they're thicker in the Sandhills. Here in Raleigh, we're pretty much clear, and I think we're going to end up with mostly clear to partly cloudy skies this evening. So our hour-by-hour forecast cooling down, 71 by 7 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 62. Tomorrow morning, we expect our low about 51, going up to 80 tomorrow afternoon, and that might be the last 80 we see for quite some time. Take a look at what we have going on across our three-day forecast. Tomorrow, 40% chance for thunderstorms. This time tomorrow, it ramps up to 60% as we head into the evening hours. We're talking about 8, 9, 10, 11 o'clock, and I think the time period to see anything severe would be from about 4 o'clock through about 10 o'clock tomorrow evening. 80 the high tomorrow. We've got a cold front coming in. Cooler on Thursday, 69. We'll have mostly cloudy skies later in the afternoon. Should become partly cloudy. 20% chance of rain in the morning. And with the passage of the front, we have cooler air still lasting through Friday and the weekend. Friday's partly cloudy, 67. Check out that morning low, 42. So yeah, cooler weather is coming back. Now, we told you last half hour about the severe threat for tomorrow. The light shaded green area, I'm pointing that out because everybody has the chance for storms tomorrow. But where you see the dark green, that's the level one threat. That's where from Raleigh up to southern Virginia over toward the Outer Banks, damaging winds and hail, the potential out of thunderstorms. Future cast starting at lunchtime tomorrow. We see some thunderstorms in the northern counties. By 4 o'clock, they start to make their way into North Carolina per this model. By 7 o'clock, scattered showers and storms that will last till about midnight. There's about 10 o'clock, and then after midnight, we're looking for more in the way of showers, some rain, 3 a.m., some rain still in the area Thursday morning, and by 8 a.m. in the morning on Thursday, we'll still have that chance for some light rain, but the rain chance ends in the morning. So from 80 for a high tomorrow to 69 on Thursday, big temperature change, 42 Friday morning. We keep 60s for highs through Sunday, a chance for storms on Monday, and David, small chances for rain over the weekend. We'll continue to fine-tune the forecast. Some of those numbers may go up, so keep checking back.
Let's hope they go down. All right, Mike, thank you. Casey's here with sports.
Yeah, you know, David, if NFL teams want restrictions with, you know, testing and masks loosened, well, then they must get vaccinated. But there's a major exclusion to the mandate. Plus, last night's loss to Detroit was less about being ugly, more about being too cute. What I mean, coming up next in sports.
The third night in a row, protesters gathering right now outside of the police department. This is north of Minneapolis, Minnesota. You see, very peaceful here this evening. We're monitoring this in the live center.
Well, Carolina Hurricanes head coach Rod Brind'Amour called last night's 3-1 loss to Detroit gross, saying in his 2.5 years behind the bench, it's the first time they just didn't bring it. Of course, it's especially disappointing coming against the last place team in the Central Division. But instead of focusing on the ugliness, Nino Niederreiter says there's a different storyline.
We think we just can make some easy plays. And I mean, that's the storyline, basically. I mean, we're trying to be too cute. We're trying to be too fancy in our blue lines or their blue lines. And yeah, that backfires quickly. I mean, they're a hardworking team and they definitely outworked us.
Well, after today, North Carolina football has 9 practices under its belt with just a little over a week until the spring game, to which Mac Brown said today the maximum number of tickets allowed, which is roughly 10,600, have all been sold. Now, Brown has been pleased with all 9 practices. Now, regardless, though, of how much optimism last year generated, the concern is still having guys stand out in the skill spots, such as running back and receiver.
And that's why every practice right now is so important. I mean, we can't have a bad practice because we're making decisions. And I told the guys this morning, and it goes back to being honest and having uncomfortable conversations with them. We're going to make decisions here in the next 2 weeks on where you fit.
We'll talk about uncomfortable conversations. Brown went in today on the transfer portal, among other NCAA issues. We're going to dive into that coming up later tonight at 10 and 11. Well, the NFL will restrict the amount of access team employees have to facilities if they don't receive a COVID-19 vaccination. Now, in a league memo sent to all 32 teams, employees who refuse the vaccine without bona fide medical or religious ground won't have Tier 1 or Tier 2 access to club facilities. Now, the NFL and NFLPA have said that COVID vaccines won't be required for players, but this memo effectively mandates it for all coaches. So it'll be interesting, obviously, moving forward, how they proceed with the players in getting the vaccine.
All right, Casey, thank you, and thanks for joining us. Nightly News is next.
See you again tonight at 10 and 11, as well as 7.